All right, let's jump right in. Today we're taking a deep dive into the world of multi-restaurant delivery.
Yeah.
And wow, you've sent over a ton of research.
A lot there.
Articles, case studies, looks like you've been hitting the books and the apps pretty hard.
Yeah, definitely.
But hey, good for you, because it's way more than just, you know, tapping on your phone and ordering in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is like a whole fascinating ecosystem.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking logistics, we're talking technology, and of course, the whole customer experience piece.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's especially interesting here in India,
right,
you know,
right.
How it's evolving to meet the specific demands of the Indian market. And I think that's where a lot of your research is really focused. So,
okay, well, let's get into it then.
Sounds good.
So, I mean, we've all seen this, right? Online food delivery, it's just exploded in recent years.
Yeah, huge.
And multi-restaurant ordering, that's a big piece of that pie.
Yeah.
Everybody wants that variety.
That's true.
Right? You know, I want my pizza and my biryani all in one go.
Of course, who doesn't?
But, you know, going through your research here, the Indian food delivery market,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's projected to hit, what, $20 billion by 2025?
Yeah, that's right.
And a huge chunk of that growth, like 60%, is expected to come from multi-restaurant orders.
Yeah, it just shows, you know, how much people are craving that variety and that convenience. But at the same time, the research you sent over on some of these smaller platforms trying to get into the game,
yeah.
It just shows you how expensive all of this technology is, you know, to make it work. And especially when you have like the big players.
Right, like Zomato and Swiggy.
Yeah, exactly. Like they already have a huge hold on the market.
Okay, so it's not as easy as it sounds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You've got a delivery driver.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate like the streets of Delhi or Mumbai during rush hour.
Right.
Picking up orders from like three different restaurants, all with their own prep times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it really is a logistical nightmare.
Exactly. Even with the best auto rickshaw skills.
Right. And that's where it gets really interesting because, you know, single restaurant delivery, that was pretty simple.
Yeah, one pickup, one drop off.
Exactly. But when you start adding in multiple restaurants,
yeah.
The whole model gets flipped on its head.
It does. And you actually included a study that showed that these traditional models, they can be almost 40% less efficient.
Oh, it's crazy.
When we're talking multi-restaurant.
What about all that wasted time and fuel?
Yeah. So somebody's got to solve this logistical puzzle.
Yeah, for sure.
What are the platforms doing? I mean, is there a magic bullet here or?
Well, I mean, it's not exactly a secret anymore, but AI is definitely the secret sauce.
Okay, so artificial intelligence, like everybody's talking about it, but
yeah, it's real. It's happening.
What's it actually doing in this case?
So platforms are using, you know, AI, specifically these machine learning algorithms, to really transform the whole idea of route optimization.
Okay, so it's not just about the Google Maps finding the shortest route.
No, no, no. We're talking about way more than that.
Yeah.
These algorithms, they're analyzing millions of data points, like live traffic, restaurant prep times, even the weather, you know, to constantly adjust the routes and try to get that delivery time down as much as possible.
So it's like having this super smart traffic controller up in the cloud.
Basically.
For every single driver guiding them through this urban maze.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. But is this actually making a difference in the real world?
Absolutely. You know, you look at Uber Eats, for example.
Yeah.
They saw something like a 15% reduction in their delivery times after they implemented these AI-powered routes.
That's significant.
Yeah. And happy customers mean they're going to order again, right?
Of course they are. And it's not just about speed, right?
No, you're right.
We got to make sure that food is arriving in perfect condition.
Right.
I mean, this is India we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that biryani better be piping hot.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that because in your research, you had a case study about Domino's Pizza in India.
Yeah.
Their heat retaining pizza boxes. It's a classic example of how innovation can actually make a difference, even when those deliveries are taking a little bit longer.
Totally. I mean, that's the kind of outside the box thinking that we need.
For sure.
Okay. But I mean, I got to imagine that building these AI systems, it's not cheap.
No, it's not. And especially for smaller restaurants.
Yeah.
It can be a real challenge. You know, they may not have the infrastructure to support it, so.
And they're already struggling to compete with the big guys.
Exactly. But that's where, you know, you saw in your research, some of the platforms are coming up with some pretty creative solutions.
They're like what?
Phased implementations, partnerships with tech companies, and even some of these cloud-based AI solutions that are, you know, making it a little bit more affordable for everybody.
So they're kind of creating a new recipe for success.
Exactly.
Blending that technology with some good old-fashioned ingenuity.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but even with all the AI in the world, you know, timing is everything. If I'm ordering my, biryani and my gulab jamun, I don't want one arriving cold while the other one's still cooking.
That's the worst.
Right? So how do we solve that?
So this is where something called dynamic delivery scheduling comes in.
Okay, what is that?
Think of it like the conductor of this whole complex orchestra.
I like that.
So the system, it's not just looking for the fastest route, right? It's trying to figure out the best pickup sequence so that all those dishes from all those different restaurants arrive together hot and fresh.
Okay, so they're factoring in prep times, they're factoring in traffic.
Yeah, even stuff like traffic lights, everything.
Wow, so this is a lot of coordination.
Oh, yeah, a ton.
But does this actually work in a chaotic city like Mumbai?
You'd be surprised, actually. Platforms like Uber Eats and DoorDash, they're already doing this in cities all over the world.
Wow.
And it's making a real difference. Wow. People are getting their food faster.
Less. Where's my order calls?
Exactly.
Wow.
And the food is arriving in much better condition.
Okay, that's impressive.
And even here in India, Swiggy, they've been experimenting with something called adaptive order batching.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's really effective in those high traffic urban areas.
So it's like specifically designed for the chaos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But of course, getting some of those smaller restaurants on board, the ones that may not have the fancy systems.
Right.
That was a challenge.
Of course.
But they found some pretty clever workarounds.
Well, that's what it's all about, right? Adaptability.
Yeah, you got to be flexible in this.
Okay, so we've got the food, we've got the routes, we've got the timing, but none of this comes cheap.
No, it doesn't.
Someone's got to pay for this symphony of flavors.
You're right. And that's a really important point to bring up. The financial side of all this is complex.
Yeah, how do we make this sustainable?
Exactly. And especially for those smaller platforms, trying to get their footing in the market.
Right.
It's a tough balancing act.
So how do they actually make money? I mean, is it all about squeezing those profit margins or?
Not necessarily, actually. So one thing that's becoming really popular is this idea of tiered commission structures.
Okay, explain that to me.
So basically, larger restaurants, the ones that are doing higher volume.
Yeah.
They pay a lower commission percentage than those smaller restaurants.
Okay.
So it makes it a little bit fairer.
I see.
And it incentivizes quality service. So if a restaurant has faster prep times, better ratings, they can actually qualify for lower commissions.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not just about, taking a cut. It's about creating a system where everybody can benefit.
Exactly, yeah. It's about creating an ecosystem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are there any other, kind of creative financial models that we're seeing?
Yeah, there are actually. So one thing that's gaining a lot of traction is subscription models for restaurants.
Okay, so like Netflix for food.
Kind of, yeah. So they pay a fixed monthly fee, and that gets them a certain number of orders.
I see.
So it creates some predictability for both sides.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The platforms know their revenue stream.
Yeah.
And the restaurants can budget more effectively.
And speaking of predictability, you mentioned this in some of your research, AI-powered demand forecasting.
Oh, yeah, that's a game changer.
It's like they're trying to predict the future of our appetites.
Yeah, basically, they're using all this data, past data, current trends, even things like the weather.
Wow.
To figure out when those peak times are going to be.
Okay, so they can, staff up accordingly. They can make sure they have enough delivery drivers and everything.
Right, and they can optimize their spending so they're not wasting money on, excess resources.
Very smart.
Okay.
So are Indian platforms keeping up with all of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, some of them are leading the way.
Really? Like, what are we seeing?
Well, Eatsher, their multi-order model where customers can bundle orders from different restaurants.
Yeah, I've used that.
It's a great example of a really cost-effective innovation.
Yeah, I like that. And it saves on delivery fees.
Exactly. And then you have Zomato. They've been experimenting with some flexible commission structures.
Yeah.
Which gives restaurants a little more control and choice.
So it's like they're really listening to the needs of those restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good to see that they're not just following trends. They're actually shaping the future of this whole thing.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so exciting about the Indian market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. So we've got the food. We've got the routes. We've got the timing. We've got the money figured out. But let's not forget about the most important part.
The food itself.
Exactly. Mm. How do we make sure that all that delicious food arrives in perfect condition? I mean, we're talking about, a piping hot curry alongside a chilled dessert.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
It is. So what are they doing about it?
So packaging, that's a huge area of innovation right now.
Okay.
And your research highlighted, the rise of these thermal insulation materials, the eco-friendly options, and even tamper-proof containers, which especially in a post-pandemic world.
Yeah, me
People
either.
are really concerned about hygiene and safety.
It's top of mind. And, speaking of tamper-proof, I remember when Swiggy and Zomato introduced those seals a while back.
Yeah.
It was a huge hit with customers here in India.
Absolutely. It showed that they were taking food safety seriously.
Yeah, and it really built that trust.
Exactly. And it's not just about peace of mind, right?
Yeah.
It's about preserving the quality of the food.
Right. Like, I don't want my, biryani to arrive all mixed up and cold.
Exactly. You want those layers to be perfect.
Exactly. So packaging is playing a huge role in all of this.
Yeah. And it's not just about keeping things hot or cold. Some companies are even experimenting with packaging that enhances the flavor
really
of the food during transport.
Wow. So it's like a whole new level of culinary science.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Okay. But it's not just about the packaging, right?
No, you're right.
We can't forget about the delivery partners themselves.
Oh, they are crucial.
They're the face of the platform. They're interacting with the restaurants. They're interacting with the customers.
Yeah, they're the unsung heroes.
Exactly. And multi-restaurant deliveries, I mean, it's got to be guff on them.
Yeah, definitely.
Dealing with the traffic, the multiple pickups, making sure everything's there on time.
It can be really stressful.
So how are platforms making sure that their delivery partners are, happy, efficient, and equipped to handle all of this?
Yeah, well, they're realizing that investing in their partners is actually, a smart business move.
Okay.
So things like flexible scheduling, that's becoming increasingly common.
So they kind of choose their own hours.
Exactly. Have a better work-life balance.
Makes sense.
And then performance-based incentives.
Okay, so like rewarding those good reviews.
Yeah, exactly. Those who are consistently delivering great service.
So happy delivery partners equal happy customers.
Exactly.
Okay, but what about those who are maybe new to the job or struggling to keep up with the demands?
That's where training comes in.
Okay.
And platforms are really upping their game in this area.
So are we talking like, those cheesy training videos or?
No, it's actually a lot more sophisticated than that.
Okay. So they're using digital tools, they're using mobile apps, and these programs cover everything from navigating complex routes to handling different types of food, making sure the temperature is right.
Makes sense.
Even customer service skills.
So it's like a holistic approach to training.
Exactly. They're really trying to empower their partners.
I like that because they're a crucial part of this whole thing.
They are. Absolutely.
Okay. But training alone can't solve everything, right? I mean, can technology help those delivery partners be more efficient and less stressed?
Definitely. And this is another area where AI is really making a difference.
Okay. How so?
So you're seeing AI-powered route assistance now.
So it's like real-time updates on traffic.
Yeah, exactly. Suggesting alternative routes if there's a jam or an accident.
Okay.
And then there are these smart dispatch systems.
What do those do?
They allocate orders based on a partner's location.
Okay.
What type of order it is, even the estimated prep time at the restaurant.
Wow. So it's like having a personal assistant for every single delivery partner. Yeah, pretty much.
That's amazing.
But with all this talk about technology and efficiency, are we forgetting about the human element?
That's a good point. Are we just turning these people into robots or?
No, and actually platforms are starting to realize that happy delivery partners are more productive.
Yeah.
They provide better service, so they're starting to focus on job satisfaction and well-being.
So what does that look like in practice?
So things like health programs, insurance benefits, even recognition and reward systems, just to show appreciation for the hard work that these folks are doing.
That's great, because at the end of the day, it's a tough job.
It is.
And they're out there on the front lines.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. But even with all this happy delivery partners, well-trained delivery partners, there's still the financial side of things to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Multi-restaurant orders. I mean, it seems like they could be a real cash flow nightmare, especially, here in India.
Yeah.
Where digital payments are still kind of evolving.
Yeah, it's a constant juggling act.
So how do platforms keep the money flowing without, running out of cash?
Yeah.
What are some of those financial strategies that they're using?
So automation, that's a huge part of it. They have these really sophisticated financial systems now that are tracking expenses, monitoring revenue, predicting future cash flow.
So they can stay ahead of those potential problems.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And it allows them to, make smarter decisions.
Okay. Well, what about the restaurants and the delivery partners? I mean, how do they actually get paid in this complex system?
So flexibility is key.
Okay.
Platforms are offering different payment schedules, weekly, biweekly payouts.
So everybody can kind of manage their cash flow.
Exactly.
More effectively.
Yeah.
And avoid those delays.
Okay. So it's good to see that they're recognizing, a fair and transparent system is important for everybody's success.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, with all these expenses, how do platforms make sure that they're actually making enough revenue to keep everything going?
That's where, you know, they have to get a little bit creative.
So one thing we're seeing is dynamic pricing.
Okay, so what is that?
So basically, they adjust those delivery fees based on demand.
Okay.
So during peak times or for those really complex multi-restaurant orders,
yeah,
you might see a slight bump in the price.
Okay.
But it helps them offset those increased costs without, you know, just suddenly raising prices and alienating customers.
Right. So it's all about finding that sweet spot.
Exactly.
Between covering those expenses and keeping everybody happy.
Yeah, you got to strike that balance.
Okay. But is dynamic pricing enough? I mean, are there other strategies that they're using to boost revenue?
Yeah, definitely. So fintech partnerships are becoming huge.
So it's like the food delivery world and the financial technology world are coming together.
Exactly. They're realizing that they can really benefit from each other's expertise.
Okay, what are some of the examples of that?
So you see platforms integrating with digital payment providers.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, to offer seamless and secure transactions, especially here in India, where, you know, digital payments are becoming so popular.
Right. Everybody wants to pay with their phone these days.
Exactly.
Okay. But are there any other cool things happening in that fintech space?
Yeah. Some platforms are even exploring microfinancing options.
Really?
For restaurants. So, you know, for those smaller businesses that might need a little bit of extra support,
right,
you know, during those slower periods.
Yeah.
It helps them, you know, weather the ups and downs.
Okay. So it's like they're not just a delivery platform. They're becoming like a financial partner to these restaurants.
Yeah, in a way. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of innovation in the coming years.
That's interesting. So it's like they're not just delivering food, they're delivering possibilities.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a really powerful idea.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So
we've got the food, we've got the optimized routes, we've got the timing, we've got a sustainable financial model.
Yeah.
But let's not forget the most important part.
Yeah, the customer experience.
Exactly. With all this complexity behind the scenes.
Mm.
How do platforms ensure a positive experience, especially when you're talking about these multi-restaurant orders?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge.
It is so.
And I think platforms are starting to realize that with multi-restaurant orders, you know, the expectations are higher.
Right, because you're dealing with multiple restaurants, you're dealing with multiple deliveries.
Yeah, exactly. And customers, they want that seamless experience.
Ours.
You know, from browsing those menus to tracking their order to getting their food, you know, on time and in perfect condition.
So it's a tall order.
Yeah, it really is.
So how are they stepping up?
Well, one thing that's becoming really popular are these unified order dashboards.
Okay, so you open up the app and what do you see?
So you see a consolidated view of your entire order. So each restaurant, their estimated prep time, real-time tracking for each delivery.
Wow, so you're not jumping between screens anymore.
Exactly. You know, no more wondering where your food is.
Okay, so it's like having your own personal food command center.
Yeah, exactly.
In your pocket.
Right at your fingertips.
I like that. But what about communication? Because, I mean, things happen, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Especially in the delivery world. So how do they keep customers informed?
Real-time notifications are key.
Okay, so they're using those push notifications, the SMS alerts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you get updates when your food is being prepped, when it's picked up, when the driver's nearby, even when they hit traffic, you know?
Wow, so you're always in the loop.
It's about transparency.
I like that.
Building trust.
Right. So I'm not freaking out, you know, wondering where my food is.
Exactly.
Okay, but what about those inevitable hiccups?
Oh, yeah, those happen.
Things don't always go according to plan.
That's true. And that's where proactive communication comes in.
Okay.
So if there's a delay or a change in the order,
yeah,
platforms are getting better at, you know, explaining it clearly and honestly.
Okay. So it's not just like, oh, sorry, your food's going
to
be late.
No, they're trying to give you more context.
Okay. And are they using technology to help with this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, AI-powered chatbots.
Everybody loves a chatbot.
Right. They can handle those frequently asked questions.
Right.
Which frees up the human agents to handle those more complex issues.
Okay, so it's like that perfect blend of technology and human interaction.
Exactly.
Okay. So they're being honest. They're being responsive. Yep. They're using technology to make things smoother. But beyond those practical elements, are there ways to actually make the experience more enjoyable?
Definitely. You know, personalization, that's becoming really key.
Okay, I like that.
So platforms are using data to understand customer preferences.
Okay.
And then they can offer tailored recommendations for bundled orders.
Okay, so like what kind of recommendations are we talking about?
So imagine you're ordering, you know, maybe dishes that complement each other.
I like that.
Or discovering new restaurants based on your past orders.
Yeah, okay.
Or even getting special deals on those dishes that you order all the time.
So it's like they're rewarding loyalty.
Yeah, exactly.
Like having your own personal food concierge.
Right.
Helping you navigate all the options. But with all these features and functionalities, how do we make sure that the user interface doesn't become just like overwhelming?
That's a valid concern, and platforms are definitely investing in UI UX enhancements.
Okay, what does that mean?
So we're talking about, you know, intuitive interfaces, easy to use search functions, clear visual indicators.
So it's like that balance of power and simplicity.
Exactly.
It's got to be easy to use, even though there's all this complex stuff going on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Okay. But even with the best technology, the best support, things still go wrong.
Yeah, of course.
So how do platforms handle those inevitable customer complaints, especially, you know, when you're dealing with these multi-layered orders?
Yeah, it can be tricky.
It can.
So responsiveness is really key. And a lot of platforms are investing in 247 customer support, you know, accessible through multiple channels.
Okay, so they're always there.
Yeah, exactly. And they're also using, you know, data analytics to try to identify common issues and proactively address them even before they become, you know, big complaints.
So it's like they're getting ahead of the game.
Yeah. They're trying to be more proactive.
I like that. Okay. Are there any Indian platforms that are doing this well?
Yeah. You know, you included a great case study in your research about a platform that saw a huge reduction in complaints after they redesigned their app to include that multi-order dashboard and that real-time tracking.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a perfect example of how, you know, these innovations can really make a difference.
So it's like Indian platforms are actually leading the way here.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is awesome. Okay. But even with the best technology, the best customer support, you know, these platforms are growing like crazy.
Wow.
Order volumes are exploding. So how do they keep everything running smoothly behind the scenes?
That's a massive challenge.
It is. And it's only going to get bigger.
Right. As these platforms scale up,
yeah,
you know, maintaining that efficiency, that's where it gets really tricky.
Okay. So what's the secret weapon here?
Well, one of the biggest game changers is something called robotic process automation, or RPA.
Robots are taking over.
Not taking over, but definitely making things more efficient.
Okay, so explain RPA to me.
So essentially, it's using software robots to automate those tasks that are really repetitive and time-consuming for humans.
Okay.
So things like sorting orders, assigning deliveries,
yeah,
managing those complex routes, even generating invoices, you know?
Wow. So they do all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And it frees up the human staff to focus on those more complex issues or, you know, the customer interactions.
Okay, so it's like they've got this army of invisible robots working behind the scenes.
Yeah, basically.
To make sure everything runs smoothly.
Exactly.
Okay, but how do they predict when they're going to need those extra robot reinforcements?
So that's where AI steps in again, but this time it's in the form of AI-driven demand forecasting.
Okay.
So they analyze past data, current trends, even things like the weather.
Wow.
Local events, you know, to predict those peaks in demand.
So it's like a crystal ball for biryani cravings.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I like that. So they can be prepared for those busy periods.
Exactly. They can allocate the resources they need.
Make sure everything's covered.
Yeah, they're playing a game of culinary chess.
I love that analogy.
Anticipating every move.
Okay, but with all those orders, those deliveries, those real-time updates, I mean, it's like drinking from a fire hose of data.
It is a ton of data.
How do they manage all of this?
That's a good point. And that's why more and more platforms are turning to cloud-based infrastructure.
Oh, okay. So what does that mean?
So think of it as a super powerful computer in the sky.
Okay.
It can handle those massive amounts of data.
Okay.
And it can scale up or down, you know, as needed.
Okay, so it's flexible.
Yeah.
It can adapt to those sudden surges in demand.
Exactly. It gives them the agility they need.
It's like a digital yoga master.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Bending and flexing with the flow of orders.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but it's not just about handling the data, right?
Wow.
It's about coordinating all those orders from multiple restaurants, making sure everything's prepped on time, getting those deliveries out the door efficiently.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
It is. So how do they avoid those frustrating delays?
So they're using a lot of clever solutions. So, for example, synchronized preparation alerts.
Okay. What is that?
So they basically tell the restaurant exactly when to start cooking each dish.
Okay.
Based on those estimated pickup times and those real-time traffic conditions.
Okay. So it's like they're orchestrating this whole culinary dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Making sure every dish is arriving on time.
And at the peak of flavor.
Okay, I like that.
But of course,
Yeah.
as these platforms grow, you know, they're expanding to new cities.
New countries.
Exactly. Those logistical challenges get even bigger.
They do. Okay, so how do they navigate those complexities and make sure that those deliveries are just as smooth and efficient, whether it's, in Delhi or Dubai?
So one key strategy is modularity.
Modularity, I
Okay,
see.
so they're designing their technology like building blocks.
Okay.
So it can be easily adapted and customized to the needs of each market.
Okay, so it's like a global recipe for success.
Yeah, exactly.
And each ingredient is tailored to the local palate.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
But it's not just about technology, right?
Yeah.
It's about understanding those cultural nuances
Yeah.
and tailoring their approach accordingly.
Okay.
So what works in one country might not work in another.
Right, so it's not just about translating the app.
No.
It's about really
The
understanding
local preferences.
the culture, the way people interact with technology.
Exactly. You have to think about all of those things.
Okay, so they're creating this global platform that feels local,
Yeah, that's the goal.
personal, culturally relevant.
Exactly.
Okay, but even with all that adaptability and cultural sensitivity, there's still that human element.
Yeah, for
I mean,
sure.
managing a global workforce, coordinating with restaurants across different time zones,
It's a lot to juggle.
it's a whole new level of complexity.
It is.
Okay, so how are they handling that?
So they're investing in things like cultural sensitivity training, you know, cross-cultural communication tools, even localized management structures.
Okay, so everybody's on the same page. Cool.
Exactly, regardless of, you know, language or location.
It's amazing how this whole multi-restaurant delivery thing has evolved.
Yeah, it's come a long way.
It's gone from this simple convenience to this, like, complex and fascinating global ecosystem.
It really has.
And it's great to see, Indian platforms leading the way in all of this innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. They're really at the forefront.
But with all this focus on technology and expansion, are we kind of overlooking the bigger picture?
What do you mean?
Like, what about the ethical considerations?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge
Because
topic.
we're talking about data,
Yeah.
customer information,
You're
restaurant data, the delivery partner locations. All this data is being collected.
All right, it's a new currency.
Exactly. And it's being used to optimize the system. But with data privacy regulations, still evolving in a lot of parts of the world, how do we make sure that all of this is being handled responsibly?
That's a great question, and I think the first step is transparency.
Okay.
Platforms need to be upfront with their users about what data they're collecting,
Yeah.
how they're using it, and what steps they're taking
Yeah.
to protect it. No more, you know, hiding behind all that legal jargon.
Yeah, nobody reads those terms and conditions anyway.
Exactly. People need to understand, you know, what's happening with their data.
Okay, so it's about transparency. It's about giving users control.
Exactly.
But are there ways to go beyond those basic policies,
Yeah.
and really build a system that's based on trust?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing we're seeing is a move towards opt-in data collection. So
Okay.
users have the choice to share their location data, you know, their order history, those kinds of things.
Okay, so it's not automatic.
Exactly. It's about giving them that control.
Okay, I like that it's about empowering the user.
Right.
Okay, but it can't just be about, policies and checkboxes.
Yeah.
What about the technology itself?
Yeah, that's a good
I mean,
point.
how do we make sure that the algorithms
Right.
that are, making all these decisions behind the scenes, are they fair?
That's a huge issue, and it's something that platforms are really starting to pay attention to, this idea of algorithm accountability.
Okay, explain that to me.
So they need to make sure that the algorithms they're using, you know, for things like order allocation, road optimization, even personalized recommendations,
Yeah.
that they're not discriminating against certain users or
Right.
restaurants.
So it's not just about efficiency.
Yeah.
It's about fairness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, but how do we even know how these algorithms are making decisions?
Yeah, that's the tricky part because a lot of times they feel like these black boxes, you know,
The deal.
you put in data, something comes out, but you don't really know what happened in between.
Right.
So that's where this idea, explainable AI, comes in.
Okay, I like that.
It's a field of research that's focused on making AI more transparent, more
So
understandable.
we can actually see what's happening.
Exactly. So, you know, if a platform is suggesting a certain route or a certain dish,
Yeah.
they can explain to the user why.
Okay, so it's not just like magic.
Right. It's about building trust through
I
understanding.
like that it's like giving users a peek behind the curtain.
Exactly. Showing them how the magic works.
Okay, so are there any Indian platforms that are doing this well?
Yeah. You know, you highlighted a case study in your research about a platform that implemented explainable AI for route optimization.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really successful because users could actually see why a certain route was chosen.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it increased their trust in the system.
Okay, so it's like they're not just blindly following the app.
Exactly.
They actually understand what's happening.
Right. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so it seems like platforms are starting to get it.
Yeah.
That ethical considerations, data transparency, these aren't just like, you know, nice to haves.
Right.
They're essential for success.
Exactly. They're part of the recipe.
They are, okay. But as these platforms expand globally, you know, those ethical considerations become even more complex.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
You know, different cultures, different regulations, different values. How do they navigate all of that?
It's a constant challenge, but I think platforms are becoming more aware of it.
Okay.
So they're investing in ethical frameworks.
Okay.
They're working with experts in different regions. They're even creating internal ethics boards.
Wow. So they're really taking this seriously.
Yeah, they're starting to realize that it's not just about, you know, making money.
Right.
It's about doing things the right way.
Okay. But it can't just be about rules and regulations.
You're right.
It's got to be about building a culture.
Exactly.
With ethical decision making.
And I think that's where leadership comes in. You know, it has to start from the top.
Right. Setting that example.
Exactly. And then embedding those ethical considerations into every aspect of the business.
Okay. I like that it's not just about the technology. It's about the people.
Exactly.
The value.
Yeah.
It's inspiring to see how this whole multi-restaurant delivery thing.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, delivering food.
Right.
It's about delivering a better future.
And I think that's what's so exciting about it.
It is. But even with all those positive aspirations, we can't ignore the fact that this technology, it's still evolving.
Yeah, of course.
And there are potential downsides that we need to be thinking about.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, any powerful tool, there's always a risk of misuse or unintended consequences.
Right. So it's not just about celebrating the possibilities.
No.
It's about approaching this technology with a critical eye.
Exactly.
And I mean, asking those tough questions.
And being willing to adapt.
Right. Because we don't have all the answers yet.
No, we don't.
Okay, well, this deep dive into multi-restaurant delivery, it's been eye-opening.
It has.
We've explored the logistics, the AI, the ethical considerations.
The future of work.
Yeah.
All of it.
I mean, who knew that ordering a pizza and a biryani could be so complicated?
It's like a whole world.
It is. And as you continue to explore this world, remember, it's not just about the technology or the convenience.
Right.
It's about the people.
Absolutely.
The ethics.
Yeah.
The future that we want to create.
And the food, of course.
Of course.
We can't forget about the food.
Never forget about the food. Okay, well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope it sparked your curiosity and maybe inspired you to think a little bit differently about the next time you order in.
Absolutely.
Until next time, happy ordering.
Happy ordering.
Okay, so we've covered so much ground. You know, all those innovations in multi-restaurant delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The AI, the dark kitchens, even those futuristic ideas of drones and self-driving cars delivering our food.
It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. But, you know, as we're kind of geeking out over all this tech, we got to pause for a second.
Right.
And think about the bigger picture, you know?
What do you mean?
The implications for society, for culture, for the future of work. I mean, it's not just about the cool factor.
No, definitely not.
It's about, you know, being mindful of the potential downsides.
Right.
As we become more and more reliant on these platforms.
Yeah. What happens to, you know, those traditional neighborhood restaurants?
Exactly.
Those are like the heart of our communities.
They are. And, you know, are we going to lose that personal touch?
Right.
That connection that comes with, you know, actually going out to eat?
Yeah. Sharing a meal with friends and family.
It's a valid concern.
It is.
You know, as technology changes our world,
yeah,
you got to make sure that it's enhancing our lives.
Right.
Not isolating us.
Exactly. So how do we strike that balance, you know, between convenience and connection?
That's the big question.
Yeah. And I think it's about designing these systems in a way that encourages exploration.
Yeah.
You know, highlights those local gems and maybe even facilitates those social interactions.
Okay. I like that.
You know, around food. So imagine a feature where you could order with friends.
Oh, I like that.
Even if you're in different locations, you could browse the menu together.
Yeah.
Discuss your choices. You know, maybe even share a virtual toast when the food arrives.
I love that it's like using technology to actually strengthen those social bonds.
Exactly. Yeah, instead of replacing them.
Okay, but what about the impact on our cities?
Yeah.
You know, will we still have those vibrant streets filled with like the aromas of street food.
Right, all those people gathering.
Exactly. Is that going to become a thing of the past?
It's an interesting question. And I think as food delivery becomes more integrated into our lives,
yeah,
it will definitely reshape those urban landscapes.
Okay, so how might we see that happening?
So I think we might see more hybrid models,
yeah,
you know, where restaurants are kind of adapting their spaces to cater to both dine-in and delivery customers.
Okay, so it's not the end of restaurants
no,
as we know it.
It's more of a transformation.
Okay.
You know, maybe smaller dining areas and then bigger kitchens that are really optimized for delivery.
Okay, so it's about adapting.
Yeah, for sure.
But how do we make sure that this transformation actually enhances our cities?
That's a good point. You know, we don't want them to all look the same.
Right.
I think it's a collaborative effort. You know, city planners, policymakers, businesses, residents, we all need to work together.
It's a community thing.
Exactly. And maybe that means, you know, creating dedicated delivery zones to minimize congestion and make it safer for pedestrians.
Okay, I like that.
Or maybe we'll see these communal food hubs pop up, you know,
yeah,
where people can gather
okay
to collect their deliveries, connect with their neighbors, maybe even sample some local delicacies.
Oh, that's a really cool idea. I like that.
Yeah, it's about being creative and thinking outside the box.
It is. Okay, well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the future of work because,
mm-hmm,
you know, as automation and AI become more and more prevalent in this whole ecosystem,
mm-hmm,
what happens to the jobs that are currently being done by humans?
Right. That's the big question.
It is, and there's no easy answer.
No, there isn't.
But some jobs, those ones that are really repetitive, you know, easily automated,
yeah,
they're probably going to be displaced.
That's true, but at the same time, new opportunities will emerge. You know,
right,
jobs that require different skill sets, different expertise.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Like, what are some examples of these new jobs that might pop up?
So we might see a growing demand for data analysts.
Mm.
You know, people who can interpret all of that data that's coming in,
right,
and help optimize those algorithms.
Yeah. Or maybe people who can train the AI.
Exactly.
You know, to do certain tasks.
Yeah. AI trainers. Those are going to be in high demand.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, there are certain things that technology just can't replace.
Right. Like that human touch.
Exactly. So customer service representatives, those are always going to be needed,
yeah,
you know, to deal with those tricky situations.
Right. When you need that empathy.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's not about,
mm-hmm,
you know, humans versus robots.
Mm.
It's about humans and robots working together.
Exactly. Yeah. Finding that balance.
Okay, but what about those workers who, you know, maybe they don't have access to retraining?
Right.
Or they're displaced by automation.
What happens to
them?
That's a really important question, and I think it's a societal challenge.
It is.
That we all need to be thinking about, you know?
Yeah.
We need to create safety nets. We need to provide access to affordable retraining.
Right. It's about making sure that everybody has the opportunity.
Exactly.
To participate in this new economy.
And benefit from those advancements.
Okay. So it's not just about the technology.
No.
It's about the people.
Yeah.
It's about creating a more equitable future.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, this deep dive into multi-restaurant delivery, it's been amazing.
It has.
We've learned so much.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. But as we kind of wrap things up here, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Okay.
You know, what does this all mean for the future of food?
That's a great question.
You know, are we becoming more individualistic? Are we losing touch with those traditions of cooking and eating together?
Right. Are we going to be, you know, just ordering everything online?
Exactly. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's hard to say, you know, but it's definitely something that we need to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as we navigate this new world, you know, this world of food delivery.
Yeah.
It's important to make conscious choices about how we want technology to shape our lives.
And our communities.
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you learned something new.
I hope so.
And maybe it'll make you think a little bit differently the next time you open up that food delivery app.
Absolutely.
Until next time, happy ordering.
Happy ordering.